Cliffcentral. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com. Hey, how you doing? It's another week, it's another time, it's another show altogether, and you're listening to Cliff Central. I got my co-host here with me, Candy. What's up? Say hello to the people, baby. How are you doing?
I'm so excited for our new show.
I'm so excited
as well.
This
is going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be totally outrageously out of this world amazing.
The weekly mashup, baby.
New show every Thursday from 11 to 12, and it's called The Weekly Mashup with myself, Demisho, and of course,
Candace Mama.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about everything. We're going to mash it up. We give you a chance to have your voice, have your say. We're going to talk about what's happening currently everywhere in the news, on social media, in our personal lives,
ooh,
in your personal life.
Yeah.
Out there. And a big thing that's happening in the personal life of the president of South Africa, Mr. Jacob Zukta, I like to call him, is the Concord decision is coming out today. And he's just been found, I don't know if you can say he's been found guilty. Can you say he's been found guilty?
Can
is that what you call it?
No, but can you say that?
I don't know if you can say that. I think what you can say is that the Concord has found that he actually should have paid the money and he acted unconstitutionally. Those are the words that they use. That's what the judge, Mokgweng, used.
Yeah.
So it's big news for South Africa because I think everyone wanted to hear what was going to happen with the president today, especially at the Concord. I think the opposition parties, the DA and the EFF, I saw them listening in the courtroom with bated breath.
Yeah.
They might move to impeach.
But all of us are waiting with bated breath. We want to know what is going to happen.
Okay.
You know what I mean? How long have we been waiting for this decision? It started with pay back the money.
Pay back the money. This is from 2014.
There's even a song. Like, come yeah, on. Yeah, you yeah, know what yeah, I'm saying? Yeah.
But I mean, do you really think that he's going to actually be impeached?
I mean, this is a guy. Yeah? It's tricky because he's gotten away with so much.
Has nine lives.
Right?
Zuma has more.
He's got way more. Yeah. And I don't know. To be honest, I don't have high hopes that anything's going to happen to
him. But tell me something. When the Gupta story broke
and
Netisi Jonas came out and said that the Guptas had offered him Nene's job before Nene was fired, did you think after that weekend NEC meeting, the ANC NEC meeting, that they were going to ask Zuma to step down?
Right. I did think so, especially after Fakey Mentor also came out.
Yeah, she came out first.
Yeah, she came out and she set the trend. And I thought, oh my goodness, change is coming.
And there was another one, another minister, I forget his name, but at the time he was in the Ministry of Communication.
Oh.
And he said that the president had called him and the Guptas had called him straight after that, demanding that they basically get advertising from the government. So I really also thought that, you know, this is it.
He
survived that as well.
Right. And so it's so difficult to get excited about this ruling because that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, is anything really going to happen to him? I'm so tired of getting my hopes up. It's like that bad relationship. I thought today was the day.
You think you've caught him out, right? You're like, I've been wanting to leave your ass.
Right?
And today I have finally found the evidence that SMS said it all. I saw the picture. Your naked ass. That is definitely your naked ass on top of that woman.
All right. And then he comes back with his friend and then he's like, baby, look at his butt. You know, they're the same. And then you're like, damn it. Again. You know? Or you try and leave him sneaky and then he arrives home early.
Yeah. As you're packing. He's like, where are you going?
You're like, nowhere, baby. Spring clean. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's a bad relationship, isn't
it? Terrible.
I feel like I'm in an abusive relationship and I can't get out.
The country is.
I want to get out. I can't.
So
I'm not sure if it's a financial thing. But, you know, I'm not. I'm financially abused as well, though. You know, that's the worst part.
But that's the thing, because you want to Misha, are you willing to give up your BMW for justice, Misha? For justice.
For justice.
Yes.
You know, I think I would.
And your nice house.
Maybe not my nice house. But the car can go. But I'd like to keep my house, if that's okay.
So you've got standards. You've got like terms and conditions to your freedom fighting.
Yes. Isn't that why we fought for freedom? So that we could have these things? No, really. I know I did. I was like, when we are free, I will have a nice house in the BMW.
And now we're saying, Tumisho, put down your nice things.
Put down your nice
things. Use your voice to fight for the country.
You're asking for too much now,
we
Candace.
Are.
Okay.
Yes.
So, I recently read your blog, which I actually quite enjoyed.
Yeah.
I thought it was very sexy, actually. And I don't know if that was the intention.
It wasn't necessarily the intention, but I'm glad that's what you got out of it.
That's what I got out of it. Because I found it very intelligent and smart. And you know, I do kind of find smart chicks sexy. Call me crazy.
Why, thank you.
I don't know.
Because I like to think of myself as a smart chick. Okay. So I'm pretty sexy then.
So why were you taking a swipe at Kim though? You know?
No, honestly. Okay, firstly, everyone should go to my blog, which is on candacemama.co.za.
All right.
And they should read it. And basically what I was saying is, because Kim Kardashian released the nude selfie on Instagram, and I had no problem with it. I was like, it's Kim being Kim, you know, give me something new. But when it started making headlines, it's the headlines that caught me, and it's the publications that published the headlines that caught me. Like Huffington Post, New York Times, and they were saying things like, you know, Kim's brave stance against rape culture and that kind of, and I was like, wait, what?
But hang on a second. What did the pictures actually look like? I didn't get a chance to see them. Okay, so were they totally nude? Like, did we see Kim naked again?
Well, no, and this time she was taking a picture in the mirror, I think.
Okay.
And she just blurred out her breast area.
They were just blurred. The nipples.
She put a black square around the nipple area.
Oh, okay. But we could see.
You can see the curvature.
Okay, all right. And then, how did they look, by the way? Were they like white?
You go look. Okay, I'll Google for you. Don't worry.
Send me a WhatsApp.
I'll WhatsApp you the images for research purposes.
Yeah,
and it blurred around her, you know, regional area.
Okay,
and
the triangle, the diamond area. Okay,
the diamond area.
Kanye's and play area.
And Ray J's. So it was really the headlines that got me, and all I was thinking was, our young girls are so easily influenced. They've got such low self-esteem, and they value their looks and their intelligence based on Instagram likes and Facebook likes. And that's what I wanted to address, that, you know, you need to work your brain, don't just work your body. Don't look for attention by, you know, posting these ridiculous self-murals and think that you're taking a stand against something, because you're really not.
Okay.
You know, you're looking for likes.
Yeah, because, you know, I have noticed that there is a lot of nudity on Twitter. A lot of young girls in South Africa are putting both their face and the rest of themselves totally naked on Twitter. And I didn't see that as a feminist stance. I just saw it as...
And you're a man, so you know what you saw.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely wasn't a feminist stance. I wasn't thinking... You go, girl. I definitely have stopped objectifying you after I saw everything.
You show them, baby. You show them.
And that's what I liked about the blog. Like, what you were saying was basically that, how is it that you took a picture of yourself naked and now you're saying it's a feminist stance that you're taking? How is that a feminist stance?
That's exactly my problem. And she also said something along the lines of, it's teaching women to love themselves.
Okay.
But if anything, it didn't teach me to love myself. It taught me a couple of things. And one of the things was, you know, you can all, as a woman, you always have the option of using your body to get to wherever you want to be, you know, and you've got an option of, you know, using your sexuality to get certain things. And yes, some women are more successful at it than others, but it's still an option. But are you going to be able to live with yourself? That is the question.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be proud of your achievements, because Kim will always be remembered for her sex tape. Yeah. No matter what she does, she could open up an orphanage and we'd still be like, she was naked with Ray J.
Yeah, she was in that sex tape. Right? Not just naked.
But yeah, like she was doing it. Yeah. You know, that's where my problem really came in. Like, our young girls are so... you know, being influenced by celebrity culture and the culture that's swaying them is just so difficult to absorb.
And isn't that quite ironic that, you know, we're saying to young girls, don't use your body to get ahead, right? And then you look at Kim and you go, but she makes like $18 million a year, and she got there by using her body. Are you crazy? Like, you don't make $18 million a year. How does it feel paying off those installments on your 3 series BMW? You know what I mean? It's like, that's, Kim got a Rolls Royce, and you know.
But we mustn't forget, Kim is like a very small percentage of women that can get that right.
Okay.
Like, I mean, how many women
she's probably
have?
Just
she's
one.
Probably the one.
Yeah.
Exactly. She's like, I don't even know what they call it now, but you know, that one out of like
a
million.
Unicorn.
She's a unicorn. Yeah. You know, so I mean, if I release the sex tape, trust me, it is not.
It didn't work for Amber Rose.
It didn't. You know, now Amber Rose is just like, looks desperate.
Yeah,
you know?
I think she's struggling a bit because I don't know if she's like working, you know, like.
I think she's working, but she also, she's got this thing that she does. It's called the slut walk.
Okay.
Now, the word slut, she's trying to change the meaning of it. But okay. I think...
In what is the slut word?
Right. So basically, women must dress however they feel, as naked as they want to dress, and they must march through the street to say that I'm allowed to wear whatever without being raped.
Okay.
And I don't support rape culture, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
But what I'm saying is that women should respect themselves so that they can teach men or whoever to respect them. You know, and by walking around half naked and expecting respect, you know, it's just... It's a very difficult thing to wrap your head around.
It's a little bit of a strange thing because at the end of the day, I mean, I kind of, maybe I'm just stupid, but I kind of understand that sense of, let's get to a point where if you see a woman dressed in a way that is sexual, let's say.
Yes, yes.
As a man, you still have no right to rape her, right?
100%.
And maybe that's what Amber is calling men out on. And that's okay. But having said that, I think there's standards of decency in society that have to be maintained.
Mm.
But then again, also having said that, I just finished reading Zaik Simdar's new book called Little Sons.
Ooh.
It's a fantastic
read. I love
him. It's set
amazing.
In the 1880s to 1904, around the time of the war of Hamilton Hope, who was the magistrate of Kumbu way back in the day. He was a terrible man. Colonialist.
Okay.
Anyway, and he talks about how the women dressed then, you know. And I guess it was a different time. It was... a more innocent time, and women kind of dressed. If you weren't married, you just wear basically a piece of cloth around the bottom.
Advertising.
That was it.
Yeah,
you know, that would like there wasn't such a thing as like underwear and stuff.
Okay.
But it was like very short cloth.
Okay.
You know.
I hear you.
And it wasn't to advertise though.
Yeah.
Funny enough, it was just that's how people dressed.
It wasn't sexualized. At
it wasn't
time.
Sexualized.
Yeah.
And actually. During the book, you know, his main character, Little Sons, because his name is Malangana, which is Little Sons in Xhosa, is a young man, round about probably 21, 22. He's already gone to the mountain and he's looking for a wife. And he falls in love with the young woman, you know. And they actually do have sex in the book. But the way he describes it, he's ashamed because they're not married yet. And he's like, he totally feels obligated to go and find her family immediately after this thing. Because he feels like, how could I have let this happen? And I must find your family and start the process of marrying you and things like that. So you see that in those days, even though people, and I'd say even men and women, walked around in standards that we would call practically naked.
Okay.
Sexuality was quite different. Sex was very much about you can only do it if you're married.
Within the confines.
Within the confines.
Certain rules.
You can have as many wives as you can afford.
Okay.
And it's always about your first wife, then from there chooses all your other wives going forward. So it was actually quite a beautiful way of doing things. And I was like, wow, you know, there's such a different way of seeing our history that we don't see the same way now because you know, with our president being a polygamist himself, we see it as something quite ugly and almost exploitative. You know what I mean? But it was also meant so that every person would be part of a family, so that there'd be no leftover women like there are now, which become just makwapeni. We call them bumangan.
Okay.
So there were no mom nannies then. Yeah. The mom nanny would just be like part of the family.
She'd be incorporated.
Yeah, which I think really we should like, you know, we should like.
Okay, no. Before you sway us in the
wrong
direction.
Where was I going? Yes.
No,
yes.
I think I like that. I think the Zaik has a beautiful way of capturing history.
Mm-hmm.
However, times have changed so much.
Yeah.
You know, we're living in such a different time. Our minds, the way we like, you know, associate certain things. It's just too different, you know. So I can't walk around with a loincloth and expect that men and expect to be respected. You know what I'm saying?
No, you can't come to the studio looking like that. That just wouldn't work. It wouldn't work for me. I mean, I wouldn't mind, but it wouldn't work for me. Like, really, it would be like, but dude, let's be professional.
You see what I'm saying?
Work,
right.
Come on, man.
And I mean, how long would we keep the show up if I came here with a loincloth
like
every day?
What's up with that? Like, come on, man. Like, come on. Like, seriously.
Should respect me. Like, show me some respect,
Yeah, take
baby.
This thing seriously, you
that's
know?
That's what I'm saying.
But here's the thing.
Yes.
Because of technology,
Ooh.
we now can be as polygamous as we want, as long as you can afford to buy a robot.
Tell
me about the robot that you're reading about.
So this was actually extremely fascinating for me because I was reading the Marie Claire. It's... It came out like I think 2 months ago. And as I'm going through it, it says, the headline captured me, that sex robots, you know, could replace human intimacy. So I read the article and it basically says that by 2020, the year 2020, women will be able to purchase a doll. Well, men and women, but they're targeting it at women.
Oh, so it's actually for women at the moment.
It's targeted. No, there are already ones for men, but they're
targeting. I've seen ones for men. Yes. Like they're like quite anatomically correct.
That's it. But women have never been catered to in that market.
All right.
You know, they've had like one prototype. So now they've actually advanced that prototype. Like you can have like a Ken looking big, you know, doll.
Yeah.
And basically it's just to fulfill your sexual needs.
But here's what I'd like to know. Like, let's say you get this doll.
Yes.
It looks like Ken. Doesn't matter what it looks like.
And it's expensive. For me, okay. It's expensive. $95,000.
I was going to get to the price later. Now we're just like, we're going in a different direction.
I'm
okay,
already
fine. $95,000. For a woman, that's like that's a bit pricey.
A woman, you can step out your house and there'll be volunteers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
$95,000.
Yeah. I mean, you don't even have to go to a bar or anything.
You don't.
Just go to the gym.
You just go to spa.
Yeah, go to spa.
Why are you buying your eggs?
You know what I mean?
You're just like, baby, I like my eggs fertilized. Then he'll come home with you. You know what I'm
saying?
You know
what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Like the car guard is waiting outside. Anybody.
Okay, sorry. You were saying.
The manager at spa. They don't have checkout guys, but if they did, I can tell you now.
It would be going down.
Yeah, it would be going down.
You know?
Okay.
Okay.
We'll come back to the price of $95,000.
Okay.
Before I get there.
Yes.
Okay. What does that money buy you? So you're getting this Ken lookalike. You can spec him the way you want.
You can spec him and you can program him to orgasm as well. So he can do pretty much human features.
And what kind of comes out?
I don't think anything. I hope not.
Did you read
not.
That far?
No. It was a very... I was just like, I broke the magazine. I was like, no.
Kidding,
Tamu Dimasi.
Yeah,
it's too much for me. So, but basically, I'm hoping nothing comes out. I guess that would be part of the price, right?
But that doesn't make
no
any
sense. No cleanup.
I see. Unless it's like, it's water soluble, something. I don't know.
Okay. Or like Handy Andy clean the house properly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know. But nothing comes. No, I don't think anything does. They didn't specify that. But I can tell you that basically you can make it look as appealing to you as you want.
Okay, so
itching the abs.
If you want the abs, you can have the abs.
It feels human.
If you like a man with a little bit more on him,
that's
you know, so you can get something a little bit chubbier. Yeah, it's
you know
your
they
thing.
Say you can't create your man.
Well, yeah, you can create your man now.
Robot.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and you can apparently like over time it gets used to what you like and stuff.
All right.
Then it starts mimicking it without you having to program it.
Okay,
so it's crazy.
Does it listen? Does it is it emotionally connected?
They're saying they work.
Does it romance you? Because I think isn't that what women need
that's
before
what I was
the
thinking.
Act? Because
like I was thinking, especially for women. I mean. There's so much more to sex than the actual act. You know, you need to be caressed and massaged and all this kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah, someone has
to
send you texts all day about how beautiful you are, right?
It.
And how special you
emotional
are
connection.
And how their life has changed because of you.
And how you're the most beautiful woman in the world to them.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've traveled the world and never seen anything like you.
You know what I mean?
You know, you don't need to know it's a lie.
Yeah.
You just need to know that he's saying it.
But
know?
Maybe because it's a computer that they could program the doll.
No,
to
but
like,
I mean, you'd know it's a lie.
That's true, because then you'd have to tell her what to say.
Exactly.
So you'd be like, okay, my first text
command.
Should be this,
yes.
Right? And then at around 10, I'd probably want another one.
Or, you know, I'd just randomize the time. I'm sure they'd give you a randomized
That'd
time.
That'd be pretty cool.
But then you're still sending yourself a message.
Or,
that's creepy.
You could like program like three messages, right?
Okay.
And then the doll kind of does an algorithm.
And it generates.
And then it generates a whole different set of messages based on those three. Like it kind of figures out what you like keyword search, like
uh-huh,
Google.
Uh-huh.
So it knows that you either like to be told how beautiful you are.
You like or, being praised on your looks or your brains or whatever.
You know what I mean?
Yes, okay.
And it mixes it up.
Yeah.
You know.
Or poetry. You like poetry.
Or you like poetry, right? This could actually work.
No, it couldn't.
There's an app. You could create an app for the doll.
No, I'm completely.
You could create an app.
I could make money off it. I just wouldn't use it. I just think it's
You don't have
creepy.
To use it. Just make the money and get your own man. You can buy your own man. You don't need to buy a doll. For $95,000, you could buy a man.
Right. I could just maintain him.
You could buy like any man you want. Most men, like 95,000 is a lot more than they would like. They would be like, whatever, like, take me.
The fact that I'd have to buy a man would be a problem. I'm just saying. Let me just put it out there.
Okay.
Like, you know, if I have to buy him.
But why? You know? Why is it a problem? Like, why do you look down on that?
No, I'm just
saying. It's not a failure on your part.
It would be a failure on my part because, why? I mean, as a woman, I couldn't just generate interest from a man.
No.
I had to take out a down payment and then I've got a payment installment.
No, you know? I think that's very wrong because I think women, the modern woman puts too much pressure on themselves because they feel that they've got to be able to get a man. And then on top of that, get a certain type of man. Mm-hmm. And if they can't get a certain type of man, then they're a failure. And what ends up happening is by the time they're starting to get to their 30s or they're in their 30s and nothing's happened, the kind of guy that they had in mind, they start downgrading, right?
Yeah.
And they're just like, whatever.
Whatever will come.
Yeah, whatever comes my way, right?
If he's got a job, I'm happy.
After a while, as long as he's a man, okay? Just a man.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know, he's wearing pants, I'm good.
And I think that's a problem because that's a lot of unnecessary pressure that women put themselves under, which shouldn't be there. It should be like, okay, I would like to be with a man. And I was watching a program on TV about that.
Okay.
It was about a gigolo. Oh. It was like a documentary.
Yes.
So this guy was talking about how he's actually a gigolo and he makes a lot of money from it.
Wow.
But what he does for the woman is he is really the man that you want him to be, right?
So he creates the persona you want or need.
Exactly. Okay. But at the end of the day, what he does is he makes you feel like he's your man. It's not like it's just a transaction. You meet at a hotel room and bang, bang, bang. It's like you start out with dinner. He comes to pick you up. Like it's a proper date.
Yeah.
He's all dressed up. He's, you know,
but
he looks
can
good.
Can I tell you where that is completely flawed?
Okay.
With women, we become so emotionally attached to someone. We're going to start forgetting that we have to pay you. And when money starts running dry, and then you have to disappear, and you're going to be like, baby, this was fine, Mara. My down payment. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, but I thought we built a good connection, baby. I thought
But we knew from the get-go.
No, it's like a woman who says, you know what, babe, I'm just here for fun. You know, night stand.
I don't mind that you're married. No, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't mind that you're married. And then two weeks later, they're like, I just don't get why you don't want to commit to me. Leave her for me. Leave her. How many songs are out there? I mean, I'm not the only woman saying this.
How many sad stories?
How many sad stories? How many side chicks are thinking they're going to become main chicks?
How many side chicks are trying to be the main chick?
Right.
How many divorce courts are filled with those stories?
And how many side chicks are actually said the word, no, baby, it's just for fun. We can just have fun.
We can just have
now,
fun, right?
Now they're like, no. Why must she live in the main house?
Yeah.
Why do you rent me an apartment and she gets the main house?
Oh, damn.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it won't work.
It won't work.
Women but are too complicated
This one
for
seemed
that.
Like it was working because what this guy was saying, and a lot of his clientele are older women who
they
are
must
very
be really
successful.
Rich. So money will never run out. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it might. I don't know.
The down payment.
That's very important though.
Yeah.
But basically the point was that the woman is the one who is saying, I don't want a relationship. I'm too busy for a relationship.
Okay.
I just want every now and again to feel like I'm in a relationship for that moment. Okay. So when I'm in town, you're my man. For the weekend or the night, we go out for dinner or we do what couples do.
Okay.
And then we go back to my place or her place, right?
Yeah.
They have sex. And then in the morning, the guy kisses her goodbye. It's like a normal relationship. And then they'll talk again when she's back in town or when she's ready to
pay
again.
You know why it makes sense to you? Because you're a man. And that's very simple to you. It doesn't have emotions and stuff.
I'm telling you,
that woman feels it. Like, she feels it every time. Like, there's a time in her day when that transaction goes off. Like, a debit, you know, the debit order for his payment.
He was getting paid.
She's going to be like, how low can I go?
Really?
Like,
she feels like cheap.
She's going to be like, how low can I go? I've got to pay for a man.
Damn.
You know?
I think that's sad, though.
It is sad. So a woman cannot be paying for a man. I mean, men are hunters, right? So men want to hunt, and you want to be chased and pursued and dined, and you know. And women enjoy that, and then we enjoy the fact that you are choosing to be with us. That's why marriage is such a high stakes game for a woman, because we just like, you know what? He chose me, baby. Okay. He put a ring on it.
Okay.
I locked it down
forever.
Forever,
yes.
Ever.
Like, for better or worse.
Sickness
even
and
if
in health.
I hate him. I can't stand to watch him chew his food.
Yeah, even
and
if I
wish
want him
he would
choke.
Die.
Yeah.
But he's my man.
He's mine.
And you cannot have him.
And she'll put it on Facebook.
I'm done.
Yeah. We'll be unhappy together. Oh, you're not going to be happy alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's be unhappy together, baby. You see, woman, we complicate it. You see, you oversimplify things. You look so traumatized. Your
I'm
face.
So scared now.
you are done. I'm sorry to tell you this.
What was I thinking? What was I thinking? I should have known better.
You didn't know me then. I didn't have. I couldn't teach you this knowledge.
You know, you need to open a school or something. You need to write about this in your next blog.
Women are going to be burning down my house.
But I've been thinking about that as well. Like, okay, in the old days, right?
Yes.
They had concubines and all sorts of stuff, right? And
it's an
I don't know.
Thing.
These things have worked for hundreds of years.
You mean the side chick thing, or the concubine?
Concubines.
Thing? Okay.
And
for men though,
the other woman, right? Which is not the other woman; it's just the other wife.
Well, it's historic. No, because there's in history, right? Even I think John Lennon.
Yes.
But there was
Yoko
a
Ono.
Yes. So there was a documentary of all these famous men who've always had side chicks.
Marilyn John Monroe. Lennon had a side
no,
chick?
No. I don't think it was John Lennon.
Okay,
sorry.
Some other guy. Okay,
yeah, some other famous guy.
Yeah.
And then I know John F. Kennedy always had side chicks and all these people.
Yeah.
So they were saying that the side chick, you know, has always been around, time immemorial. But who does it affect the most? I mean, look at Monica Lewinsky. Like, all of us know her, and we don't even know what she's doing now. All we know is Bill Clinton going, I did not have sexual relations. And she has not been able to have a career since.
But you see,
so
Monica.
So it damages the woman. It doesn't damage the man.
Monica messed up there. She snitched. She shouldn't have snitched.
No.
You can't snitch and then expect
matter.
The fallout not
no,
to
no.
happen.
Can I tell you something? It
like there's a side chick code.
No. It doesn't matter how side chicking comes out. When you have been a side chick and it comes out, society turns on the woman. It never turns on the man. A man
that's
can
true.
Recover from infidelity.
Look, I'm not saying that's
a
not what happens.
A woman is like, you are done. Especially if you're in the public eye, you are done. You're like a notorious side chick.
Yeah,
who was Kelly Kumalo, right?
Yeah,
who Senzo Mayua passed away.
Yeah,
and what did people say? She killed him because she was the side chick.
Yeah,
I mean, there was no truth to that.
But you know that like all her men either die or end up in jail, right?
And she's like quite a viper.
Yeah,
I don't know who's gonna stray into
like
that terrain, but
killer,
bless.
You know what I mean? Like,
you know,
that
bless
vagina,
her heart.
That vagina is cursed. And the
that
saddest
it is.
Thing,
and the worst part is men still want to go.
I mean, I probably would, you know?
You probably would. That's
probably
the sad
would.
Part. Knowing good and well that your life expectancy afterwards is not good.
Yeah, I'd probably tap that. But, you know.
It's not good.
And then afterwards be like, oh, shucks, I've probably got a couple of weeks to live. But it was probably worth it. Because she looks like she's like rowdy in bed. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. It's the truth. All right. Coming up in exactly 5 minutes. We're going to have Kirtesh Sunderson, and he's going to come through and talk to us about what is happening, and or rather, what happened over the past week in our, what do you call it? Say, economy
the
financial mashup.
All that stuff.
All right, so we're going to come back with that. Short off this, let's have a little bit of TI, and we'll come back shortly.
Yeah.
All right, we're back, and in the studio we have got Kirtesh Sunderson, MD and CEO of Sun Advisory. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Tamisha, how are you, man? How do I follow up a business conversation with
know,
the conversation you just had? I mean,
okay.
Really?
Well, you know what we can start with, right?
Difficult.
Like, how would you finance one of those dolls? I mean,
oh,
like,
goodness.
how do you even start? What do you say to your banker?
95,000, by the way.
In rands, that's not too
that's
bad.
That's a lot of money.
That's it. Thank you.
I think it's a lot of money.
Lot of money.
I think it's a lot of money.
You know what, right? If you're gonna go and pay Lobola in the Eastern Cape at the moment, it's at least at the moment about 150,000.
With the exchange rate being what it is.
Yeah, with the exchange rate being what it is, and us probably going down to junk status, you're probably looking at about 150,000 to 200,000.
So what do you think?
Yeah. Look, I mean, what do I think about the whole idea?
Buying a doll for 95,000.
I think it's a lot of money. Maybe I'm the man's perspective, but 95 is a lot. And, you know, I think isn't it a lot easier just going up to somebody and asking,
Thank
hi,
you.
My name is so-and-so, and I like you.
That could cost you more if you get caught. You see, you don't know how much more, though. In fact, if you don't know, you can ask our minister of... Melusi Kigaba, he's our
minister.
Oh,
yeah.
I think he's paid a lot more than 95,000.
Well, apparently 200,000.
200,000, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So okay. Like, if you think about it, he's probably thinking that doll is actually...
could have been a better
you know
investment.
What I mean? And the wife probably would have been okay with it because they could put it back in the cupboard and she'd be like, it's fine, babe, you know.
That's a problem.
Let's keep it in the garage.
Look, I think when it comes to women and these dolls, I think there's a... I could see a market for that.
Women, not for the men.
No.
The men, I could definitely see a market for the women.
I see it for the men. I don't see it
because women need someone to talk to, take them to the movies. Men just need to take out the dog. When I'm like, I'm bored. I just had something to eat.
But that's been around for a long time as an option, right? That's not new for a man.
Well, they haven't been like as mechanical as these ones and as anatomically correct. I mean, when you look at these dolls, I mean, I've seen pictures of them.
Yeah.
And they look like real women. It's actually, it looks like almost like a dead body, though. That's
oh, really? Right?
So it's like there's that whole necrophilia thing going on, which is a bit weird. Unless they get to a stage where they actually talk and...
But then that's too much. That is too much. As soon as it starts talking and walking,
Then you're really getting a real robot. Then you're really getting moving to the cyber world. Reality almost.
I saw a documentary once that said that one day, if robot technology gets to that, when it gets to that point, not even if, we'll be able to send out. So you don't even have to leave your house. Or all the things that you need to do, you'll send out a robot.
Yes.
And therefore, you could also have a robot do certain things for you that you can't either do for yourself or you don't want to do for yourself. Yeah. Or you could do with the robot. You know what I mean? So you could like buy a female robot if you're that way inclined.
I hope I'm not around for that. That's just too much Chucky for me. Like, I saw Chucky. I don't need robots turning on me. No.
I think it's starting. I think people need help. I think they're all good facets to robots. Yeah. There's no doubt about
it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if the robot could do all those tasks that you really don't like doing, then I have to ask, what are you going to do with the rest of the time you have?
Oh, no.
Because then
it
might free up the whole day if you've got a robot doing all these things for you.
I've been outvoted by you too.
I don't know. Because you've already sent the robot out to do stuff. And you're sitting at home and you're thinking, I'd love to have a sandwich, but I don't really feel like going to make one, right?
Correct.
But the robot's out already. So now you need another robot to do that. Gets complicated. So you have you have an army of robots.
Yeah. Well. Listen, we've got. I think we've got enough time to work that one out. Okay. For now, we're okay.
Okay. Well, let's talk about like last week. Basically, the Moody's people came. Everyone was talking about it. They came.
Yes.
I don't know if they've left yet.
I was trying to get a picture of the Moody's people because I always have these sort of men in black types walking in and having a look at everything.
Yeah.
And I try to find one, but obviously, you know, they're undercover or are reviewing things. So I always have this picture. Who are these Moody's, the men in black kind of guys who are coming to have a look? And the day they came, you know, I think bad news just broke all out. Oh, they didn't really have to leave the airport if I were them. I would just sit there, watch the television, write your report. Get back on the plane and you've done your job.
Yeah.
Why do you need to even get out of the airport?
Everything that could... like, the worst thing that we were hoping wouldn't happen just happened.
Exactly. So, right? I don't think there are any secrets when it comes to South Africa and a review and a... You know, there's this whole thing we're going to come down and obviously be on the ground and see how things work. But I think with the internet and TV and what people say and how they're tweeting and what they're communicating, the information's out there, you know?
Yeah. But here's the thing, right? Are they allowed to have their faces shown, or is it one of those things that they have to kind of be top secret people because, I don't know, they could be attacked or they could be... I mean, can you imagine kidnapping the Moody's people?
Exactly.
I would kidnap them.
Exactly. So that was, I mean, there was a question in my mind who they were, but I suppose there is a reason for them to be all incognito among us.
And I bet you
give us better ratings or you never see the Moody's people again.
No, it's very anticlimactic. Those kind of people, you look at them and you're like, really? That was all?
Yeah, they're
probably, it's never like the movies. So
they probably look
like
short, pasty Swiss accountants.
Auditor types come
boring.
In. And look at the facts, I suppose. That's their job. But they must be influenced, though.
Of course.
But in your opinion, right? Like I said, I haven't seen anything. Did you see anything since they've been here?
The only thing that really came out is
opinion
they came and they gave us some time, 3 months, and they would... I mean, essentially how these things happen, they give you a little bit of a warning that they're going
to
do a downgrade. So that came. They came and did
they warn us?
Yeah, there was... I mean, that was the original start. I mean, how these things work is they give you some indication that they're moving towards a downgrade. Then obviously, Praveen Gordhan went overseas, put our case
forward. Yes, because he did that before.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And then perhaps they had a great meeting and they said, okay, they'll come in and have a look.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the review. And I think we've got about 3 months or so before...
3 months?
Before... I read something in the region of a period of time. And then we're looking... You know, we're looking at then what the final decision is. But my view is we've got two agencies that have got us one notch above junk status, and we've got them two notches above. So if they bring it down one notch, then they'll all be on the same level. And so I think for them doing the one notch down, I think it's going to happen.
Okay. So that will mean we'll be junk status.
No, we won't. No. One above.
We'll be one above.
So they were two above. Oh. They all don't go in tandem. I think if you look at the history of all of them, they're all sort of one above, one below. They're not always all, you know, okay, clustered together. There will be if Moody's drops us by one,
okay,
and then it'll all be consistent there. And then the next, you know, if it does go really down to the final junk status, then it'll be whoever moves first after that.
Okay.
But by the way, we've had junk status before. I mean, you know.
Oh, like when?
So I don't know if people have looked at the history, but essentially we've had that kind of rating in the 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
When?
94 to about 99.
I was around. I was like spending money and getting paid.
It was okay. Exactly.
I was 10, so you should have known.
You know, I was taking out loans.
Yeah. So if you look at the real scenario,
nothing happened.
Is in the 90s we lived through a period like that.
I had a good time,
and then we started getting better and better and better, and we peaked around 2012 or so, and then we started coming down. So, so we've been there before. It's literally like a bell curve. So we were at junk status really.
And we
time
survived
back.
It. So it's not as dramatic as we think.
We did survive it. I think. But the thing is, when you get into the favorable rating and you get used to being fed, your economy being fed by investment and money coming in, like everything else, you like that, right?
Yeah.
So when it starts going down and
nice
diminishing, it's not so nice.
Mm. Yeah.
So the question is we've been there.
Okay.
And I look at it as almost we needed a bit of a wake up call. I think a lot of us were getting really complacent about how things were going and maybe it's time for us to start focusing on doing some work.
But you say us, like the average consumer. Are you saying that the average consumer out there was just like taking out more loans and spending more money on their credit cards?
Are you talking about the government and the
cabinet getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and more blue light
brigades?
Correct.
I think that's
what you mean.
We've allowed that to happen.
Because I don't remember saying to anybody, it's okay for that. I don't remember. Okay, man.
No, we didn't say it's okay for that. But I think as a country as a whole,
yeah,
you know, public sector has been growing. We're spending a lot of money
on extending
the cabinet. We had good times. I mean, you know, companies were making money, you know, tax revenue was coming in. So I think all that. Now we've got to a point and we're making it like we didn't know, but we did know. It was, I mean, the ratings and the economy has been slowing for the last 2 years, going into the third year. So we really did know.
Mm.
It's just that now it's become this reaction of what do we do? And I know they're trying to do everything to prevent it by the end of the year, but this is a big ship. You just can't turn an economy that quickly.
But here's my thing, right? And I've always wanted to know, like, who are these Moody's people and ratings agencies generally? And who said that they have, who died
authority
and made them God,
yeah,
you know, and said they have the authority to tell us who and how we should spend our money?
Yeah.
I think they came out of necessity as the world grew, as different countries, as the economies of the world became connected and people were investing, they were formed. I don't know the history. But I could see why they exist. Is they, you know, needed to inform and provide ratings as what is a good investment versus. But they do it in country terms.
Okay.
In other words, ranking all the countries together and trying to give an indication to people what is good, what is riskier, what is less riskier in terms of an investment destination. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same thing on a minuscule level that you do when you look at the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. You'll get companies in the top 40, and you'll get other companies that are obviously smaller cap. So there are analysts out there that are putting this analysis out there that's giving you an indication. If you are gonna go and invest, and you're talking to your investment advisor, they're obviously saying, well, do you want the high risk stuff, do you want the medium risk, or you want the low risk?
Okay.
So what Moody's does and all these other rating agencies does, it puts it in perspective, right? So you can make a choice. You say, hey, I want to risk. So the issue is, if it's a riskier investment, what do you want? You want more return, right?
Okay.
Yes.
So if South Africa becomes riskier, people are going to want a greater return.
Okay.
Therefore, for money that they put in, they want greater interest.
Yeah.
Right? How do you get greater return? Greater interest. So instead of paying you 8-10%, they may want 12%, 14%.
So our inflation is going to go up. I mean, our interest rate is going to go up.
Well, it would. Borrowing costs are going to go up because people are going to want more because remember,
this is really about rich people. Moody's are like those people who call themselves financial brokers or whatever. Those guys from Liberty who call them from Stan. That's what they are, but they're like for the world.
They're for the world, right? They're saying, well, what they're putting.
Now I get it.
Look, let me ask you this: if I told you a country's economy is slowing down and it's getting down, it's not going to grow, and there's another country that is going to grow, which one are you going to invest in?
The growing country.
In the growing country, right? In a very simplistic terms.
Mm-hmm.
But South Africa has other needs, and we obviously want to attract some investment because that helps us to grow. It's just that it's so linked. If you don't get money in, you can't really invest in new projects. And if you're not investing in new projects, you're not creating employment. And there are all these real ramifications that happen. And what happens, I think, with the Moody's and the downgrade to junk status eventually is that people who have money in your market will have to take it away and put it in another market that is a little more safe because the risk profile of their investment has changed. Like, for example...
Okay. Hang on.
Yeah. I want to know.
Yeah.
So... I hear all these complicated terms, but I want to know for me as a consumer and me as just an ordinary South African, what does junk status mean for me? Does it mean that I've got a downgrade? Do I drive a Japanese car now instead of a German car?
It comes down
to... Japanese car? The Nissan GTR?
Listen, Japanese cars are just as expensive these days.
Like, what does you it mean like, for me as just an everyday consumer?
You're talking about a Tata, like so an Indian car.
Yeah, and
I think what it means for us directly. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, so a couple of fronts.
Yeah.
If you have investments in the JSC and in pension funds, and if money gets pulled out of our saying, those prices they should fall.
Okay.
But they will rise again. So unless you're pulling them out, if you're at retirement stage, maybe you need to pull them out before they drop. I think that's the one implication from investments.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The next implication is that you can understand, and we're feeling it already, that interest rates are starting to rise, so people's bonds are getting more and more expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the third component there is the exchange rate is going to weaken, which means a lot of imported products will become more and more expensive.
TVs, cars,
correct.
Yeah. So, Louis Vuitton bags are going to get
absolutely.
More expensive.
Absolutely, but in reality,
buy me one.
We're in a perfect storm at the moment because it's not only exchange rates affecting us. Remember, we've got a big drought.
Yeah.
Food prices are being affected by that.
Inflation's going up. Mm-hmm.
So
go up
anybody who's out there, I'm saying, if you got a good job, work very hard, keep it. Okay. Right?
Stay with it. This is not a good time to start thinking about opening that business, right?
You know? Yeah. No. Keep your basic job and do that. Second is understand that costs are going to go up and try and... You know, create some kind of buffer.
Okay.
And in one way is maybe look at your general expenditure. I mean, some of it is really, as far as I'm concerned, essential, which you're going to have to keep. The non-essential, the nice-to-haves that you can cut out, understand that you may perhaps have to cut back on that.
I can't even say that, but like... I can't imagine what is a non-essential that I'm spending money on.
Okay, to me, sure. Like your facial products,
absolutely.
You can downgrade a little. You do not need to be paying.
This is how
that much.
I make money. So this is like telling someone to like if you work with laptops to get a smaller laptop, it doesn't make any sense.
No, you just don't have to pay that much. There's so many products on the market. That's all I'm saying.
Look,
so,
I think there's a level where there isn't any non-essential, but those who have non-essentials in there, they can cut down. Others, unfortunately, in reality, if you're earning very little, you are gonna feel it because costs are gonna rise.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's not a good time for loans and credit cards and that kind of stuff.
No, it's not. But unfortunately, what's going to happen is people who find themselves short will turn to those kinds of products. And so you know, people will borrow money at exorbitant rates. And it is a concern. I mean, that's the real concern here.
Yeah.
Is how do you buffer people whose essentials are going to be fuel in terms of taxis and transport
and food prices.
And food prices, right? Yeah. So why I said perfect storm is we've got the exchange rate and we've got drought affecting that. So it's not only the exchange rate necessarily that's going to affect food prices. It is also, you know, availability.
But I think the first, you know, bit of good news is what you just said now. So certain things on the JSE and things like that are going to go down. So if you do have a little bit of extra cash and you haven't started investing yet, now would be a good time to invest actually in South African companies, right?
Absolutely.
Because suddenly the share price has gone all the way down and it's just a matter of time before it comes up again.
Absolutely. There's always opportunity in both directions, right? Mm. Going down and going up.
Yeah.
So what it's created, we've got a situation now where we've got, okay, ratings, we've got political turmoil, we've got corruption, we've got labor unrest, we've got drought. Consider all these factors, it's almost like a perfect storm, right? But in that, there are opportunities. What it does is some people who perhaps will consider this, two things people do. It's really the fight or flight. And this is my view to a lot of people now. It's like, this is it. Okay, flight, if you've got cash and you think you're going to run with that and peg the money and exchange it into dollars, and right, that's the flight.
Yeah.
The rest of us really have to fight, and the fight means we stay and we look for opportunities and we invest and carry on. Because
so what would those opportunities look like? What is it that we should be looking for, really? What would you say?
Well, I give this a bit of thought. I mean, I'm looking at the moment for somebody who perhaps has a great business maybe and wants to just exit. Right, they may want to leave.
Okay.
And because you remember '94? People were leaving.
People were selling their houses for next to nothing, like that. Right.
That's right.
Going to like the UK then. New Zealand. Yeah.
Correct.
Like
so '94, '95 period. There's opportunity in property. There's opportunity in business.
Smart.
There should be, right?
Yeah,
because
if
people are trying to preserve capital and not invest, then they're obviously going to convert into other countries. Some of them may have been working, have a business. It may be good.
Yes.
Which means you should be looking out for those kind of opportunities.
Wow, that's very smart. Mm. That's a good tip.
I think that's what I think should be doing is either the flight or flight. The fight element is go after the opportunities and really say, where is it? I'm looking for that. Mm. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, you never know. There might be a nice beachfront property that comes on the market at, you know, 800,000 rand or less. That you may
a nice B&B, you know, come on, you know.
There might be opportunity in property. Remember that as interest rates go up,
that's the thing,
getting a loan might be
a little more
difficult. But building a war chest now is the wise thing to do, right?
So basically, don't buy anything new just yet.
Correct. I think you want to build a bit of a war chest and have a plan. So say, I'm going to build these reserves. I'm going to put them aside, and if an opportunity comes, I'm going to be able to move on it. Like property, for example, you may. For example, now put a 10% deposit, but if you can put a 40% deposit, you will get finance at that level.
Mm.
You know, so even with the changes in our rating,
because banks still want to loan you money.
Yeah,
they're going to have to continue in this market.
They don't want to like close shop.
No, they're not going to do that. And remember, our financial system is as good as any. So our banks are secure, and they will continue in that. But they will eventually want to do business. There's a time that people will say, well, we're not going to loan. There is going to be that reaction. We're going to look at everybody with a fine-tooth comb, and we're going to check everything.
It's going to be like '94 again.
But then
they're going to feel it, so it's okay.
Yeah, but then they're going to realize, hey, we have to do business.
Yeah.
And how are we going to have to do that? And eventually banks will come around and even lending will continue.
Okay. I mean, the other thing is, I've been thinking to myself lately that, you know, people are so afraid of being downgraded to junk status by the ratings agency. Russia was downgraded to junk, and so was Brazil. Out of the five BRICS countries, it's just us, China, and India that are left. If we go as well, then I think for me, it's not such a bad thing. In fact, I think everything that Zuma has been doing over the past couple of months and getting us into this perfect storm in his doing has actually been great for us, because in many ways, there's new opportunities that might come out, which one is we might not look, we won't be able to actually look to the West to loan money anymore. So we have to actually build greater relations with our BRICS counterparts and allies.
Yes.
I know Putin was saying that he wants to create his own ratings agency. I think that will be very open to corruption. But that's okay, because we are used to that now. Maybe the Guptas can put in a good word for us. We're going to be okay.
He wants his own little sandbox.
Yeah.
He can play in.
You know what I mean? And I don't think that's such a bad thing. But I think we'll be free of this whole idea, because as South Africans, we are so beholden to the West. And once again, it's like being in a really bad relationship.
Yeah,
with these people who don't want you.
But you're gonna, you're staying, baby.
Yeah,
you're
and staying. we keep chasing after them. Please don't
love me.
Yeah, like no, go.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the world is a connected place.
Yes.
And the reality, although you may want to break those ties, unfortunately, global capital is capital, and you know, we still need capital. As much as we may say we're going to have BRICS and everything else, it's not a functioning organization yet.
Okay.
And until that happens,
couldn't this be the catalyst to make it a functioning organization?
I'm hoping it can. Look, there is one school of thought that says South Africa is eventually going to run out of money. It's going to have to turn to somebody. And maybe the alternative is the BRICS Bank. But that comes with all sorts of challenges. I think at the moment, when you look at unemployment at the level it is, if you look at all these factors, it's a hard pull.
We're not really there to
break out, and we're a small partner in a larger grouping. So although you say, well, it's an opportunity for us if we take it, if we actually get down and do something about it and look at the challenges and start building real opportunities for people, creating employment, using all of that, using crisis as the stimulus for all of that. That'll be the good, as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
but if we don't,
our president's pretty much cut a deal with the Russians to build the nuclear power stations. That's going to help with unemployment, surely.
Yeah, it will.
We'll just owe them a heck of a lot of money, and if you don't pay Putin, he's going to come and break your legs. He's going to come and break each and every one of our legs.
He'll start with you.
I hope not. I hope it starts with the president.
Well, the worry,
the president will be gone.
The worry about these deals is what have we got ourselves into, right?
Devil, yeah.
So how long do we have to pay someone else? So it's about you know, you're not going to necessarily pay someone that's in from the West or from the World Bank but you're paying somebody else. So effectively for us, we're paying someone.
We're getting out of the fire and out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Because it's not like the one is saying we'll build these things for you for free.
Yeah, or it's not for free. You out.
We're not helping you out. There is still a price tag, and it still runs into billions and trillions.
And it's a pretty big price tag.
Okay, well, on that happy note, thanks for ruining my day. That's it from us, the first show of the weekly mashup. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We will be doing this every week with my two friends, Kritesh and Candy.
Yay.
Had a great time with you guys.
Keep going, guys.
Let's do it again sometime, huh?
Awesome. All right.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Cliffcentral.com.